Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, August the 12th, 2012.
Well, let's stand together, sing a few songs together tonight. We'll start by singing, "Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing for sin I cried." Glory to His name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried.
Offering a little bit later in the service tonight. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. I just want to read that to you tonight. I think the songs we just sang and the song I'm going to teach you here, a real simple chorus entitled The Gospel Song, but I want to read this to you, and this is taken from the ESV translation. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I'm going to sing this chorus to you, and then we'll sing it a couple of times together, and then end with Amazing Love. Holy God in love became. It goes like this.
Holy God in love became perfect man to bear my blame. On the cross he took my sin, by his death I live again.
I see some of you singing this, not a new chorus, but maybe new to you tonight, the gospel song, Holy God, sing it with me.
Holy God.
Amazing love, how can it be?
and it's my joy to honor you. You are my King.
Have enjoyed having Joel and Debbie and the whole family, all of them sitting in a row. This is almost all of them sitting here in a row. This is quite impressive, quite impressive. And so they're going to report to us a little bit about what's been going on in Hungary and tell us a little bit about how we can pray for them. And are you all singing tonight? Okay. We'll just let that go then. Okay, Joel, or as he's frequently called, the gazelle.
It's getting more infrequent as the days go on. So, all right. Well, it's very good to be back. For the last 2 months, we've been able to spend some time with family and friends. Which, am I hitting the right button here? You'd think I would know more than anyone what button to push on one of these things. Is it the back button? Is it the left button? Which button is it? Squeeze the trigger. Oh, okay. That's for Debbie. You told me to remind me to turn your cell phone off. So, okay. All right, we can go on now. Well, it is good to be back. As Sarah mentioned this morning, how she frequently gets to listen to the services, either through iTunes or through the podcast website, we do as well. And so that's a ministry that we really appreciate. I appreciate Matt Thompson and the guys, the sound guys that put that together every week. We love being a part of the service, even from Budapest, Hungary. So there's not a ministry in the church that's not important. What seems like maybe just a simple, easy thing to do can really go a long way. And so we appreciate those guys very much. It's been good to be back for a couple of months and see some family and friends. It's been good to catch up with a lot of our supporters. It's been good to play tennis with Doc. A year ago, I didn't know if we'd ever get that opportunity to do that again. And so I was looking forward to that. I know that was something you were very concerned about a year ago, was whether you would get to play tennis with me again. I know that was high on your list, but we've enjoyed being back. Spring, early spring of 1985, I was a junior at Clearwater Christian College. And one particular evening, I had finished up, I'm sure I had diligently finished up all my schoolwork. And I decided to go down to the gym and shoot some basketball. I was on the basketball team. And so went down to the gym, and it was dark. There was just one light on in the gym at the far end. And I saw this guy kind of in the shadows. He was dribbling the ball. He was just going through a bunch of ball handling drills, and I didn't know who it was. I couldn't see his face, didn't know who it was. I knew it wasn't one of my teammates or any of the guys in the dorm. And as I was walking towards him, I mean, the guy was doing phenomenal things with his basketball. And when I got up to him, it was Pistol Pete Maravich. His dad lived in Clearwater, and Pete also had a home there. And he conducted his summer basketball camps at the school, but I had never met him before. And so he stopped for a second, and, you know, I was, you know, bug-eyed meeting, you know, Pistol Pete Maravich. If you don't know who Pistol Pete is, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, he's the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history. And so I got to talking with Pete for a few minutes, and he said, hey, there are some other guys in the dorm that would want to maybe play some three-on-three. I was like, yeah. So I ran up to the dorm, you know, and quickly found five other guys. That wasn't hard to do. Came back down. And, you know, we spent the next hour and a half, you know, playing basketball with Pistol Pete Maravich. And, of course, he schooled us all. He was, you know, 37 years old at the time. This would have been 3 years before he died. But, I mean, he still had it. He still had all the skills. You know, he could still do it all. But we had a great time playing three-on-three with him. And so, you know, when I went back up to the dorm last night, you know, I mean, I was just, you know, reliving the moment, you know, what a great evening that was. And I was just really honored to have been on the same court, you know, with this legend, even if it was only for a little while. And to tell you the truth, with us serving in Central and Eastern Europe, and in particular with ABWE, the teams and the individuals and the missionaries that we get to spend time with and work with and serve with are incredible, and I count it a real honor to be on the court, if you will, with them. So God has certainly blessed us. He's given us incredible opportunities to be just a part of what he's doing in that part of the world. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we're sufficient of ourselves so as to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that verse is never been more truer than it has, you know, for me these last couple of years. God has He has blessed us. He's protected us. He has provided for us. He has truly been our sufficiency. Of course, everybody's been watching the Olympics this year or this last couple of weeks. You hear this word legacy used frequently. And again, as Pastor mentioned this morning, we're honored to be sent out by this church, and we're thankful for the legacy of faithful ministry, not just in missions, in children's education, as was mentioned this morning, in every aspect of ministry here at Grace. We truly do have a legacy that God has blessed, and so again, we're honored to be a part of that that connection as well. Just to give you a quick family update, the girls are doing quite well in Hungary. They're 9 and 12 years old. If you haven't seen them or pictures of them in the last couple of years, you've noticed they're growing up quick. But they're enjoying living in Hungary. They've made a lot of good friends. We live in a missionary community close to the school there, and so it's been really great for them to build friendships with a lot of kids where we live, and so we're thankful that that's been a good transition for them these last couple of years. The boys as well have had really a great couple of years in Hungary. You're going to hear a little bit from Tyler in just a few minutes about the ministry opportunity that he's had this past summer. We're really thankful for the school. It's been one of the most important answers to our prayers before we went was that our kids would have, you know, not just a good experience and all that, but they would be ministered to, that they would be cared for, that they would be educated, that all around it would be, you know, profitable for them, and it really has been. I'm very thankful for the school there. Grant will be a junior this year. He's counting the hours, I think, until we go back. He really loves living there, and so he's excited about getting back to ICSB. Tyler graduated from ICSB back in June, and he's going to be heading to Cedarville University. We'll head up there at the end of this week. Of course, excited about Brian and Ariel and their engagement and their wedding coming up in May of next year. And so on the family side, just a lot of things that we're thankful for and looking forward to. Well, I don't want to assume that everyone knows everything about ABWE. That's probably true for most of us, since we do have such a long history with ABWE through this church and through Doc's involvement with them. And so I thought I would just give you about a 90-second glimpse into what ABWE is all about. Tony Beckett, voice and face that you'll recognize, has spoken here many times. And just to give you a quick overview of the ministry of ABWE.
Hello, I'm Tony Beckett, one of the vice presidents at ABWE. Sometimes people will say to me, well, what's ABWE? You know, if I define A, B, W, and E, all I've done is define an acronym. But ABWE is so much more than an acronym. It is a ministry, it is an independent faith mission that is focused on one thing in particular. Our vision is to make disciples among every people group on earth. The way that we do that really tells you the ABWE story. We do that as we share, build, and serve. We share the story of hope. We tell people about Jesus. Give them that opportunity for God to work in their heart that they can trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when a person's trusted Christ as Savior, they should become a part of a local church. The Bible doesn't talk at all about the individual isolated believer in Christ, but as followers of Christ, we join together with other followers in Christ. And that's why we talk about we share the story of hope and we build communities of faith. In those communities of faith, that's where we can learn, that's where we can serve, that's where we can grow together, that's where we can worship together. And so as we think about what we do as a mission, we share the story of hope so people come to know Jesus. We build communities of faith, and we want those to be churches that will multiply, reproduce, and be the kind of churches that send out missionaries as well. And we serve the world with love. Those acts of compassion that we do in our ministry give us the opportunity to tell the story of hope.
So those three words, share, build, and serve, everything that we do as missionaries there, everything that we do as a mission board there should be connected to one of those areas. Either we're sharing the story of hope, we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as we're given opportunities and abilities to do that. We're there to build churches, to start new churches, to expand the churches that are already there. To multiply those churches so that they're in turn sending out their own missionaries. And all of that is happening in the countries within our region. So it's a very exciting ministry to be a part of. And then to serve. Compassion ministries, English ministries, anything that gives us an opportunity to meet physical needs, an opportunity to share the story of hope. All of those things interconnect with each other. And so, you know, those three words are really what our ministries are all about. Well, just a very quick geography lesson, and I wouldn't think this would be necessary except for the fact that Debbie was in Publix a week ago, and she was at the checkout line. The guy was bagging her groceries, and somehow it came up about, you know, where we live, or do we live around here? And she said, no, we're from here, but we actually live in Budapest, Hungary. And the teenage bag boy looked at her and said, that's out near Kansas, right? And, you know, she said, no, it's not out near Kansas. You know? And she told me that story, and I thought, you know, he's probably going to be bagging groceries a long time. I hope he really likes his job. So now we live just outside of Budapest, Hungary, about 25 or 30 minutes outside of the downtown area. We are a part of the Central and Eastern Europe and the Mediterranean region within the ABWE structure. And so that box kind of gives you an idea of what encompasses that region. More specifically, our ministries are for the most part within this box would be the Central Europe countries. Right now that would be Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. We're looking to expand those regions, looking to put teams in new countries. I'll be mentioning a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But in the last 18 months, We've had opportunities to serve both in that Central Europe region and outside of it just a little bit. And so just to give you an idea of some of the directions that we've been going and how to help opportunities to go and serve over the last 18 months. Well, no doubt you've heard also in the last couple of years about financial crisis in Europe and probably more specifically Greece. And I've not ever heard it overstated. It's a bad situation. It truly is as awful as you hear about it on the news. And the repercussions of all of that are still yet to be seen. To let you know how that connects to Hungary, I would imagine if there were a list of Central and Eastern European countries that were in bad financial shape, Hungary is right on the heels of Greece. They're not doing well as an economy. It's tough for Hungarians. There are some that do well and some that have the means to live a pretty good life, but on the average, it's a tough life for Hungarians. They're seeing their wages go down. They're seeing every cost imaginable go up. We pay about 7.25 for gas right now. Everything is expensive, and the value of their currency as it relates to other world currencies continues to drop and drop. So what they're able to buy with their currency just doesn't go as far as it did even since the time we arrived. And so that is a real crisis for them. But of course, of greater concern is a spiritual crisis in Central and Eastern Europe. It is a dark spiritual continent. Ministry is tough there. It takes time. It's a process. Very often it's a process where ministry is handed off, from one person to the next, from one team to the next, just because of the amount of time and effort that it takes. Some telling statistics, and I won't read through all of these, but these kind of represent some of the countries and where we have teams and what they're up against, what they're facing. I think of Kenny and Gina Mead, supported by our church, serving very faithfully in northern Poland. Large country, less than 0.5%, of evangelical believers. Getting a work started, getting momentum in that takes time. It takes people. They're one of their greatest needs right now is additional teammates. So we're constantly on the look for people that can maybe devote their life to coming and serving in that part of the world. The need is great. Think of Hungary. 10 million people. 2% would be evangelical believers. They're not encouraging numbers, but they are very challenging numbers. We're thankful to be there. It is frustrating at times. We wish we would see more, what we would consider progress or success. But at the same time, we fully understand that that's in God's hands. Our call is to go, to be there, to be faithful, to share, to build, to serve those three things. And so we continue to do that. Well, as far as what we're actually doing there, I would really divide it up into three areas. We're there as a part of the regional leadership of that division of ABWE. And so we have a number of tasks that that we do that are connected with assisting in the overall leadership of that region. Language acquisition as well. We live in the country, and so we should learn the language, as frustrating as that is. And then local Hungarian ministry. That's one of the areas that I shouldn't say that we enjoy the most, but we do because we get to do it very frequently as a family. And so I'm going to talk about that just a little bit as well. Regionally, my position there is Central Europe Coordinator, which is just a fancy way of saying I have the privilege of working with our team leaders in all of our teams throughout Central Europe. And what I do with them or for them can and does change over the course of time. It's designed to be a very flexible and fluid position so that I can focus time and efforts and energy where they're most needed, as it's needed, and then move on to other things. So right now, we're a resource to all the Central European teams. That might cover a number of things. It might be in ministry planning. It might be thinking through with them what's working in other areas of our region and see if we can either duplicate that or modify it so that it's a useful ministry in their part of the world. Second part there is interim team leadership. This was actually a part that we weren't thinking about or even didn't think we'd have the opportunity to do it, but we have right now two teams, a team in Slovakia and a team in Czech Republic, that don't have designated team leaders right now. So that falls to me. So I have the opportunity to work with, right now, some new families that have arrived in those countries. And so I'm helping them go through the process of acquiring their work permits, their visas, their insurance requirements for the countries, helping them to pick and choose what might be the best way of language acquisition for them, help them think through the process of where they're going to live, what national partners they're going to work with, what churches they want to connect with and work with. So all of those things kind of fall under the regional part of our ministry there. And then Debbie and I together get to serve on what's called the ABW Vision Team. It's those four couples in the bottom right-hand corner. As Central Europe Coordinator, I have an Eastern European Coordinator, and that's the couple on the left, Bruce and Carol Bagley. We have a Muslim Ministries Coordinator, Scott and Lisa Carter, and then our Regional Administrator, Kelly and Sherry Fath. They just moved to the Budapest area back this spring. Language acquisition, one of those things that can't be avoided. I go to language class 3 days a week, usually 3 days a week, for about three and a half hours in downtown Budapest. And it is both frustrating and challenging, and I'll add a third, exhausting. There are days when I will come home and Debbie will say, "Well, how was class this morning?" And I'll have a little smile on my face. I accomplished something today. I understand something that I didn't yesterday. And those are great days. Usually the very next day I come home and she'll ask the same question and I'm ready to toss it in. I'm in class most of the time with four or five other students. They're usually in their 20s or 30s, and this is their fourth language, and they're just leaving me in the dust. But I'm not going to let them beat me, So I'm challenged by it. I do enjoy the process. So it's not a dread, but, I'm not 20s or 30s anymore, and so it takes a little more effort than I would like. But we are seeing progress there. That's just to give you some idea of what the language looks like. There's seemingly no end to how long a word can be in Hungarian. They just make them up as they go and keep tagging stuff on the end. So, the joke is Hungarian will be the language we speak in heaven because it's taken forever to learn it. It's going to be around for a while. Local Hungarian ministry. As I said, we really enjoy this aspect of our ministry. It's something that we frequently get to do together as a family. Debbie and I together teach class on Monday nights, English to Hungarians on Monday nights at a local Baptist church in the next town over from us. We have a group of usually anywhere from 8 to 12 or 13 students, anywhere from teenagers to grandparents. One of the ministries here at Grace that we really knew that we were going to miss, was working with high school kids. And we really hated to see that part of our life, be left behind. But God has even blessed us in that we have a good group of teenagers that come to our classes on Monday nights. We've been able to get to know them and really find out what their lives are like in Hungary. And so, he's answered that request for us. And we have some teens that we get to know. The picture on the left is the International Christian School of Budapest. And ICSB continues to be a real blessing to our family, as I mentioned before. But one of the really cool things that I like is that my first trip to Hungary going on 12 years ago now, was to help put in a computer network at the school. It was just one building at the time, and now it's three buildings. It's just a magnificent facility. And God's given us the opportunity to be a part of that along the way. But, you know, 12 or 13 years ago, I never imagined that my kids would be going to school there. You know, I just didn't see that. And, man, what a blessing that God's allowed me to not be just a part of a building and a structure, but He's really brought that full circle. And, you know, and now our kids and our family are being blessed by that ministry. The lady on the right with Debbie, I'm going to let Debbie tell you about her and just to tell you a little bit about what a small part of ministry that Debbie has there.
He's going to leave me all alone up here. I'm a little scared. This is a picture of my friend Barbara and I. Barbara is a third grade teacher in the local school the next town over. Actually, this year she's fourth grade. In Hungary, teachers serve with one class for 4 years. They start teaching them in first grade, and then they move up with them every year till fourth grade. They think the American system is terrible, and I've heard that. So anyway, Barbara has become a good friend. And just to show you, it's just so neat to see how God puts things together and how He, just how the seeds planted grow and how you can see that. And 5 years ago, Barbara was the next door neighbor of one of our teammates. And our teammate got to know her and she wanted to learn English. So our teammate started, you know, talking with her and doing some English with her. And Barbara was invited to go to a English camp at one of the local churches, the local church where we teach every week. And the pastor and the missionaries involved noticed how Barbara was so close to the gospel, how she just didn't even want to hear the name of God. She didn't want to hear anything about verses. She just wanted to learn English, and she was a little annoyed with, you know, the spiritual part of the camp that she was going to. So, but she hung in there and she learned English. And so she met with this teammate of ours for a year or so with English. And then eventually, because of moves and teammates coming back on furlough, she got handed off to another teammate, a single missionary. And this lady also spent time with my friend Barbara and was able to do English with her. And there was one time last year, we weren't able to do it, but Barbara went to this teammate of ours and asked if her son could come live with an American family for the summer because she wanted him fluent in English, and the best way is to live among Americans. And we, with our schedules, it just didn't work, but she didn't want him going to the local camp that had a summer camp where the kids could go during the summer and learn English and be immersed in English, because she was afraid they were going to push the gospel on her son. So she didn't want that. Little did she know, if he was in our house, he would have heard a lot as well. But he did not come. Well, to make a long story short, or maybe it's too late, but Barbara came, this missionary, single missionary, went on furlough last year and asked if Barbara could come and meet with me. And so Barbara comes to my house once a week. We started doing English lessons, now we just talk. She wants conversational English and we just share. And at one point in time, the local school is having financial problem, and so a local Baptist church was trying to take over the public school. And so they approached the school board and the teachers, and then the teachers had to have a vote to see whether they wanted this church to be involved with their local school. And the teachers voted unanimously that they wanted this school involved. And so when my friend was telling me about it, she asked me, I was asking her, and I said, "So, Barbara, how did you vote?" Because I knew Barbara's past and how she just was adverse to hearing the gospel, and she said, they don't teach children about God anymore, and children need to know about God. And just the doors that God has opened in the past year with Barbara and I sharing and knowing where God has taken her from, it is just so exciting to see him work. And I don't know, I'm from the north, but I live in the south and now, and I have that southern laid-back personality, so I think it goes well with this area because it just takes time. And I, you know, you just have to be patient and pray for them. And we just pray every day for open opportunities. And God is so amazing to open doors if we just pray and seek him. In our English class as well, we love our students. And we want them to know that we love them. And we want, if we love somebody, it's just natural that we want them to know the Christ that we serve. And so we just pray for open doors to share with them. And we have one student that is very, all of our students are very sweet, but we found out later that on one day she was going to visit somebody near the church, knocked on the door, and happened upon another missionary in that community. And the missionary, you know, answered the gate, and she realized she spoke English and she was at the wrong house. And so Irene, our student, said, well, you speak English. Will you meet with me? Because I want to learn English. So not only does she have our class and times that we can share with her, but God put her at the gate of an English American missionary who could share Christ with her as well. So I know she's going to end up saved. I just, you know, you just see where God opens doors. So we are just so excited, and it does take time, and it takes prayers. It takes daily prayers, just praying for the people that God brings in our paths.
And that's usually how it works. I mean, that's not an unusual example of how evangelism and personal ministry takes place where we are. Well, I wanted you to hear from Tyler, and Tyler actually said, hey, I'd like to say a few things about what I've been doing this summer. We appreciate the church's support of his ministry this summer, so I'm going to give Tyler a few minutes and let you hear from him.
All right, well, it's great to be back here in my hometown, you know, home church. I grew up here. It's weird thinking that, like, 16 years ago, I was in the nursery crying, and somebody was watching me, and, you know, half the people that are still in the youth group I knew then, and, you know, we're crib mates. I don't know. It was lots of fun. So, this summer, I spent 5 weeks at a summer missions project in Keszthely, Hungary, called Speak Out. You may be wondering what it is. It is an English camp for Hungarian students. There's 3 weeks of camp. There were about 120 campers per week. So for the campers and the American staff, such as myself, it's an English camp, you know, where students can spend a week having, you know, entertaining English classes in the morning and American-themed games and activities. And every day, or except for one day, but basically every day, they have almost three and a half hours with a real American, like me. So it was awesome, so much fun. For the Hungarian staff, there were about actually I have the exact numbers. Where are they? There were 47 American staff members and 95 Hungarian staff members. Most of the Hungarian staff members are about my age and became Christians through the Speak Out ministry. But for the Americans, it was an English camp. Students, you know, we teach the students, all that stuff. For the Hungarian staff, they do have a part in the camp. They help run some of the games and stuff like that, and they have morning classes they teach. But during the afternoons, all of the Hungarian staff go out and do random evangelism around the whole Balaton area where Speak Out is. And so, yeah, it's a really great way that they can grow in their faith and help share it to their fellow countrymen. Speak Out was started in 1992. It is a very old camp. They have a very good record. Everybody there knows it, basically. It's very fun. They have a very a very good focus on training for all the staff members. We have a week of training before the camp, and then throughout the whole 5 weeks, we just continual classes and stuff like that. It's really great. Our staff director said, we may not be the best project, but we will be the most trained and prepared. So, and I totally agree with that. Speak Out was started in Hungary, but has spread to many other countries, including Albania, Slovakia, another town in Hungary called Siófok, Romania, and Macedonia. And many of the Hungarian staff members left to these countries to go help the staff members in those places. Some statistics, man, for you. 3,197 people were approached with the gospel. 1,878 heard the gospel clearly. 119 people indicated a decision to follow Christ. And 58 of those were from the Speak Out camp that I was attending. So, and that was out of 337 campers that we were a part of. So, what did I do at Speak Out? Well, every week is kind of the same thing. We have, you know, a schedule every day. So I'll just go with you 1 week that I, what I would do in 1 week. So my main job was to be a tutor group leader, which I would lead 3 to 5 students every week for 3.5 hours every day. We just meet, you know, talk, practice conversational English, which is very difficult. Meeting new people and finding things to talk about for 3.5 hours every day. So we'd start Saturday. All the weeks started on Saturday. All the campers would come. We'd have registration process, and I was working as a language checker. So they would come sit down in front of me, and, you know, I'd talk, you know, what's your name, where are you from, first time at Speak Out, you know, how'd you hear about Speak Out? And, you know, you hear very different levels of English, you know, people going, oh, yeah, this is my third year at Speak Out. I love talking English. You know, I love Americans. It's awesome. Or people, you know, show up and you're like, I am Speak Out. That's always fun. So, that was, you know, registration. That's basically all Saturday. And at the end of the evening, all the students get to meet their tutors like me. So that's Saturday. Sunday. During my tutor time, every day during tutor time, we have a specific, even evangelistic goal. Yeah, that's the word. So, the first day, I would share the gospel through my testimony. So I'd meet with them, you know, try to turn the conversation to some way that I can, you know, make it sound natural to, show what God has done in my own life. And so that was really awesome. All the campers love hearing your own stories. That evening, the campers would have a special night called American Culture Night, and that's when they would have different stations set up where you would show different, you know, aspects of American culture. I was the MC for the American Holidays group, so that was lots of fun. Next day, Monday. On our tutor time, I would meet with my guys and share gospel through this thing that we called the diagram. It's a tool that Campus Crusade for Christ or crew has developed to show the gospel in both a visual and audible way. It's very powerful. Lots of the students like it. It generates lots of dialogue. And so it's powerful because it uses different senses, because you see it and you hear it at the same time. And so that was also, that's a really great way that we got to share the gospel. And then that evening, we would have an activity called the Staff Hunt. And that was when all the whole staff for Speak Out, we would dress up in crazy costumes, and we'd spread out through the whole town of Keste, and they would just have to find us, and whoever found the most staff members won. And so that was lots of fun. I would just sit along the edge of the lake and just play, you know, my friend's guitar. And I actually made some good money. I should do that every night, man. I bought dinner one night. It was fantastic. So Tuesday, we would have no tutor time on Tuesday. That is what we had sports day on. So it was all day, lots of sports games. It was lots of fun. Campers love, you know, it's funny seeing them try to play American football. Whew, man, because, you know, they don't have it there. So, but soccer, whew, man, they kick my butt. They are very, very good. And then the campers would have a free evening that night, which they could do whatever they want, and, you know, so that they love Tuesdays. Wednesdays, during tutor time, I would go through a booklet with them, squeeze my way into it through, you know, clever conversation, so it would be natural. But we would go through what's called the four laws, four spiritual laws. You may have heard of it. It's a big Campus Crusade for Christ tool that they use. And it was a great way to do because it was in Hungarian. The Hungarian campers had a Hungarian booklet for them. And so they, you know, there's no doubt that they did not understand the gospel before now because some of them did not have the best English. So, you know, sometimes I was not able to communicate what I wanted to as effectively as I would have wished. And so it's always very helpful for them. And that evening they had a Hungarian service kind of thing where they showed a video and had some testimonies for the campers to hear. One testimony of a guy who was a former skinhead, racist gang member, and he had turned into a missionary for the gypsies, which is just a crazy thing that would never, you know, it's impossible. But just great to see the things that God can do. And so the last day, I would meet with each of my students one-on-one, just each of us, and we would talk about, you know, how was your week? Did you, like, speak out? You know, what did you think about the spiritual part of this camp? And we'd ask them if they would like to receive this gift that God offers us to receive salvation. And it's a great way, you know, just to see the transformations that occurred over these 5 days or so with these guys. It's just amazing. I'll give you some stories in just a minute. That last night, we would have a big, you know, Western-themed party to close the night, and so that was lots of fun, where the campers could pie their favorite staff members in the face, which was me sometimes. But it was lots of fun, you know. I love whipped cream. And so that's basically what my week would be, and then that was Thursday. Friday, we had a day off, no work, so that we could rest, because we needed lots of rest. We were very busy. So that's basically what Speak Out is in a nutshell. I could go on and on and on, but it was a fantastic, you know, just the preparation that they provide you in the ministry that I was able to have for, because I've been working with some Hungarian students just, you know, in general before, because I like meeting them. And so that was lots of fun. I want to talk to you about two campers in particular that I had some good conversations with. The first one, his name was Bense. He was 17 years old, I think. You know, he was a kind of quiet guy. It's kind of hard to try to balance, you know, getting to know all the campers the same. But since he was so quiet, it was a little hard to get to know him. But on Monday, I was talking, and I was like, so what do you guys think about God? Because, you know, we talk about God some. And he's like, oh, I don't believe in God. And I'm like, okay. Is there a reason why you don't believe in God? And he's like, no, I don't know. I just don't believe in God. I'm like, right. All right. You know, most people don't just say, I don't know why I don't believe in God, but I don't. Some people do, but I thought there was something underneath. So on Wednesday, I met with him one-on-one, and we just started talking, and we brought up the Four Laws booklet, and he was like, and I was like, so why don't you believe in God? He's like, well, you see, my parents just got divorced, and they hate each other, and God would never allow that. And so I was like, oh, man, this is really tough. I was sitting there. I had one of the other, my discipleship group leader there. He was sitting there with me. And I don't really know what I said, but, like, I just felt the Spirit come on me. And I just like, connected with him and started talking. And I don't even remember what I said. But anyways, just, like, God worked through me. And at the end of the conversation, I was like, so what do you think about this? And he was like, you know, I think I might want this. I want what you have. And so he was this close. He didn't actually, you know, pray the prayer or anything, but he said he wanted to think it over. Many Hungarian, at least from what I've seen, they want to be very sure of their decision. And so that was just a fantastic way of seeing how God can work in ways that, you know, we could never do ourselves. And so that was a really great thing for me. Another guy that I had a privilege to be in his group. His name was, what was his name? Aaron, like Aaron, but, you know, Aaron in Hungarian. And so Aaron spoke no English, none at all, basically. He showed up and I was like, what's your name? He's like, Aaron. And I'm like, okay, where do you live? He's like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long week. So, you know, basically I couldn't really do anything with him all week. I, you know, tried talking to him. He could answer very simple questions, but that was about it. Very smart guy, though. I could tell when he talked to his Hungarian friends. And so I just, you know, the last day I decided to meet with him with a translator, you know, the decision day. And so I was like, oh, great. I don't really know how this is going to go. I don't really know him at all. I don't, what am I going to say? So I was like, you know what, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, he probably didn't understand anything we're talking about. But, you know, you know, maybe, you know, make something, you know, speak through me, or the translator, or me, I don't know, something, make him understand. And so I, you know, met with this guy, his name Aaron, I'm a translator, his name is Roland, and we just, you know, started talking, and I was like, so, did you, you know, what did you think about the spiritual part of the camp? You know, did you understand it? And through the translator, he goes, yeah, yeah, I understood it all. I liked it a lot. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm not saved, though. I'm like, okay, would you like to be saved? Would you like to, you know, accept this gift that God offers us? And he's like, yeah, yeah, I want to. I really do. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I thought you said you wanted to be a Christian. He's like, yeah, I do. And he's like, oh, okay. So I was, God, I didn't really know what to do. I hadn't gotten to that point yet with anybody. So it's like, all right, let's go over this book again. And so we just went through the four laws, and he's like, yeah, I understand it. I wanna pray this prayer. I was like, that's awesome. Why don't you know? So we prayed the prayer with this our translator in Hungarian, and I was just sitting there. I was like, wow. All right, God, you did it. You did it. Man. Like just this morning, you know, when Pastor talked about, you know, prayer, and prayer can do anything. It can do anything. Seriously, like, I don't know how he understood everything, but he did, and I was just in awe of what God did. So it was just a fantastic, you know, that was last week too. So I was like, wow, this is a great end. This was awesome. So it was just a great week. That was a great week, and it was a great 5 weeks. That's all I have to speak about. I would just encourage you guys to continue pray for, you know, the youth of Hungary. There's a movement going on. It's fantastic what God's doing in the youth culture in Hungary. It's very dark, but there's a bright light that's shining. And so I just want to thank you guys for your financial support, your prayer support, and just, you know, thank you for being a part of my summer. So thank you.
We're trying to get Tyler to come out of his shell a little bit and be a little more talkative. No. Just to kind of wrap things up, I'm not going to take the time to show you this video, but one of the projects in our region that we're really excited about, Pastor mentioned the country of Kosovo this morning. The Kosovo Leadership Academy is a new international Christian academy that is being started and developed by staff and missionaries through ABWE. It's one of their, what they call a capital project, which means it's at the top of their list of projects that they're going to be developing over the next couple of years and doing a lot of recruiting and fundraising for. Think of it as, I kind of think of it as an opportunity to be a part of ICSB again, but in a whole other context, in a whole other environment, a whole other people group. And so we're really excited about the Kosovo Leadership Academy. Carol Woods is very significantly involved in that project. And so I know from between Scott and I and a number of others, you're going to hear about this school and this academy over the next couple of years. So I just wanted to plant that name and that seed. Just to kind of wrap up, let me skip over this. Okay. Just to kind of wrap up and tell you, you know, what our needs are right now. A couple of things that you can continue to pray for us about. Always more opportunities to connect with Hungarians, to build relationships with them. It happens in ways that we never can force. It happens in ways that we never see coming usually, as Debbie mentioned. So we're always looking for opportunities to build relationships. As I mentioned earlier, additional teammates and team leaders in the countries, especially that I'm working with, we have a great need for additional workers. Language acquisition, that's going to be on the prayer list as long as we're over there. Support-wise, even though, as I mentioned, financially things in Hungary are bad and costs are on the rise, one thing that has kind of worked in our favor over the last couple of years is the exchange rate. Even though the Hungarian currency value has dropped, what the American dollar buys in that currency has actually gone up a little bit. It was a roller coaster ride for the first 6 or 8 months that we were there. But right now, it kind of works in our favor. We have had a couple of individuals and one church that had to drop all of their mission support because of their own financial crisis as they went through. And we were really saddened to see that happen because of where this church was located and the ministry that they were having. They're going through some significant hardships right now. But that's kind of where we are support-wise. I don't want to take a whole lot of time, but if you have a question, if it's something maybe I mentioned that you want to know just a little bit more about or something that I didn't mention, I wanted to at least give you the opportunity to ask a question if you had it. If not, we'll move on. Yes?
It might be tired, but I wasn't clear about the Speak Up Camp. Is that something that is run by here? Is it run by...
Yes, the Hungary Youth Ministry is a group. What's the acronym for it, Tyler? Youth on the Threshold of Life. A lot of Campus Crusade MKs and staff work alongside with it, but it is a Hungarian led ministry. Okay. Well, again, thank you for everything that you do for us as our sending church, as the church that I grew up in. Thank you for your prayers, for your encouragement. Thank you for your involvement in ministry here. Thank you for how you've invested in the lives of our kids, and hopefully you have gotten a small glimpse of what your investment in them is doing. We're excited about what God's going to give them opportunities to do in the future as well. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, Joel. I still remember, it seems like we had some kind of a youth activity when I first came out here. And of course, everybody worked and did a little bit of everything. And Joel was one of our teams in there. I think you were a teen about that time. But Mary made homemade pizza for everybody, which is a wonderful skill to continue to develop, my dear. I remember, Joel's enthusiasm and his interest. And I also remember that I towered over Joel at that time. But those days are long gone. And... we're excited for the ministry that God's given them and all. I think one thing that has always been kind of interesting to me is how God takes some of our very gifted people, our people that could do all sorts of things, could virtually do anything with their lives, and God calls those people to unusual and different kinds of locations to serve Him. They wouldn't have to have the kind of struggles and things that they face. They could do something else. But by the grace of God, serving the Lord is the most important thing, and that's a terrific model for us to see that and to hear that. And I'm encouraged by that. I hope you'll give generously tonight. We save the offering to the end, and unless otherwise designated, this offering goes to the ministry of Joel and Debbie and their family. So we'll ask the men to come at this time. So, Father, we thank you for this offering and for what you've been doing for us and what you've been doing in Joel and Debbie's life. I pray that you'll continue to watch over them, and as they work with their children, Father, we thank you for all that we see, Father, that how you've blessed their lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, they will be leaving us very, very soon to go back to Hungary, and I think you have to drop at least one child off at Cedarville and all of those things, but you are going to come back next May for the big event, and so that will be kind of exciting and everything. You know, occasionally I hear things that, I don't know, it's just part of my makeup and everything. When I hear heresy, I just feel compelled to be able to deal with things that I know are not just quite right. And tonight, did you hear what Debbie said? Debbie said she was a laid-back Southern woman. Now, I just want you to know, you've had five children that are born in Chattanooga. And you see, you think because you live in Chattanooga and you live in the South that you are almost Southern. But it has been explained to me repeatedly that even though all of my children were born here, even though I've lived here more than I've lived any other place, I will always be a carpetbagger to the day I die. And so I'm just telling you, Debbie, I'm just going to give it to you straight and all. We appreciate you and love you all. Thank you for coming, and y'all need to hug their necks and say hi to them. But one other thing I wanted to mention, two things actually. When you get old, these things happen. This morning we were talking about prayer, and Don Arnold and I were talking about it, and on some level we're going to hear about the Fuji Project, very, very soon and everything. But one of the things Don was telling me tonight, that there was a pastor in Fiji that had been praying for how many years, Don?
15 years,
and unbeknownst to anybody that came in, when they came into Fiji, when they came in, they met this man, and it was an answer to their prayers, and they've been praying, asking God to do something, and all of a sudden, these guys show up on their doorstep and wanted to get the Bibles out. I thought that was kind of interesting and everything. So what is your passion? What is it that you're praying about, and you want to see God to do something really special, and you're just going to keep at it and everything? Now, I don't have $500 to give you, so that's not happening. And I don't even have a book that I can give you the price back on it. But I'm telling you, there's some persistence in terms of ministry and everything for us to be looking at. And as I think about that, tomorrow we're going to be taking a whole crowd of teenagers to Cajeta Springs, and they're having a retreat, and so we're praying over the next several days that the Lord will do some special, special stuff in the lives of a lot of our kids and everything. So we pray that the Lord will do those things. And Garland Cofield sat right over here today, and I forgot to mention his wife Helen has stage 4 cancer, and don't know just what's happening, but I know that someone has to be with her virtually all the time because her balance is so difficult. And so you pray for Helen Cofield. Anyway, I think I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.